Good morning, or should I say good afternoon? It's almost the afternoon.
Borderline. Good morning.
Welcome to another episode of Smashy Business. We've got a special co-host with us today, Waleed Shihabi, co-founder of Keeper, Rent Now, Pay Later platform. Very exciting. We're going to talk about it in a little bit. But we're here at STEP Conference. It's the tech event for emerging markets. I think it's the most important event for startups here in the region.
Well, it's certainly the one I love the most. And it's a beautiful venue. It's a beautiful day. It's a great day to be in Dubai.
It's such a wonderful day that our Smashy Business board, which was supposed to be behind us, collapsed.
Tiny little bit windy, yes.
Hey, you know what? It's all about taking on challenges head on, yeah, right? And being transparent about it. So 100%. There we are.
And we have lovely nature behind us. It's a beautiful day now. It's not too windy. But I think the highlight really is the energy in this place. The setting is beautiful. The energy, the startups, the ideas that that inspire you, the people that are speaking here and that are probably mentoring the whole industry or talking about their experience. It's just a lovely event. It's by far my favorite.
It really is the energy, because we are seeing a shift in the narrative, global / Western versus local. A lot of people now, with everything that's happening in Palestine, people are really going towards supporting local homegrown businesses.
Go local, go regional, all the way. I think it was a trend anyways. I think the quality of companies and the quality of startups from the region has consistently been improving and consistently been breaking barriers. We see less and less clones and more innovation coming up in the region. And I think it is aided by this sense of we can do it, right? We don't have to depend on others to do it. We can do it for ourselves. We can build great global companies out of the Middle East. There is an inherent belief today in that. And I think as consumers, we can support that also.
It
might be motivated by recent events, but I think the net effect of that can be extremely positive. If I find the local or regional alternative for a product that I use, not only am I supporting those founders and that business and their employees, I am also giving them more funds to invest in their product and improve their product, giving them more runway, more ability to invest. Something I've sort of accelerated myself as a consumer, and I think just in general we see people more aware of it and making their consumption choices accordingly.
Absolutely, they are more aware of it. And I'm aware of the fact that you have got a background in investment banking. You were at Shu'a for a long time.
A decade almost,
a decade.
Yes.
How important is it to have that kind of experience before setting up your own company? How important is it to have that corporate, cutthroat kind of experience?
I think it's undoubtedly important, but I think there is also the risk of overweighing it. And if I can tell you a little bit more about that, you start taking certain things for granted and not understanding the operational element of starting your own business, right?
Okay.
When you're part of corporate, you don't do everything. Mm. You do what you do and you try to do it very, very well, but you're enabled by the whole environment that's around you. You've got HR, you've got finance, you've got marketing, you've got whatever these, they all enable. You don't have to worry about them too much if they're going in the right direction.
Yeah.
A lot of importance comes on the fact that understanding finance, understanding how businesses work. In my line of work in investment banking, I was a generalist. So I'd take a look at multiple different business models, understand them, but understand them top down a little bit, understand them looking, from, 100 kilometers up in the sky. And I thought I understood how they operated. It's different when you set up your own business. you get stuck in the details,
and,
or you risk getting stuck in the details. So it's important to be able to do that. It's important to be able to, you know, have that depth in understanding, depth in network, depth in knowledge. But it's also very important to prepare yourself when you're building a startup that you're going to get involved in stuff you will not enjoy. And you have to be fine with it, and you have to build it from the ground up, including the small details you take for granted.
That's a great, great point. You got to get your hands dirty, right?
Absolutely, no doubt.
And you've set up Keeper 2 years ago, Rent Now, Pay Later platform. These platforms, I mean, we were just talking earlier about Tamada and Tabia, they've really changed the landscape. What are your predictions, and how is Keeper doing now? How is it going?
It's going great. I think the whole ecosystem benefits when certain players do really well and sort of break through a certain ceiling. In the cases of the two companies you mentioned, Tabby and Tamara, I believe they're the fastest unicorns ever in the history of the Middle East. And that says something. And they achieved that status in one of the most difficult times for startups, not just in the region, but globally.
Yeah.
So undoubtedly, this has been very good for the for the ecosystem. You say that we're a Rent Now, Pay Later platform. That's one of our products. That's a vertical of ours. We're a property platform.
Right. Yes.
But it is certainly what we're most known for today, and it's because we tackled what we believe is one of the most critical problems in real estate. Anybody who rents a property here in Dubai today knows the significant inconveniences of, you know, the rental payments that you do. You're expected to do those payments significantly in advance. You're expected to write the check, even though this is the single largest expense you have as a household, right? If you don't own your own home, then you're paying rent, and that rent typically by our estimate is north of 30% of your income. So it's a big, big chunk of your expenses, and it's done still the same way it was done 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago. So we went and we tackled the property side of it, so the supply side, the owner side first. We got on our platform a lot of property owners. We digitized their properties to a large degree. We digitized the payment process. We digitized the contractual process.
Right.
And then from there,
How was the appetite for that? Were people excited about
massive.
It? Was there a
Absolutely massive. You know, we talked before we went live on here is that Love in Dubai, you know, one of your brands,
put our sister
up
brand.
A post, a sister brand of yours, put up a post about, you know, our launch, our pilot launch. We didn't even launch it like to the whole market. We did a small pilot on Rent Now, Pay Later. Just that your post alone gave us a big spike in terms of the traffic, because the minute people knew that it was possible to pay their rent monthly on credit card, we got thousands of applications coming through. So, you know, it's a great problem to have, of course. We had to scramble to keep up with the demand and process all that demand and link it to properties and basically raise funds in order to facilitate for that. But it sped up that whole process, and we're very grateful and we're very happy that, you know, the problem we believed was a problem worth solving, turns out it's very much so.
There was a little bit of a slowdown in funding, according to a recent report from WAMDA. How has your journey been, you know, raising funds?
Didn't make things easier, of course, and this is a global phenomenon. You take a look at the funds raised in the startup space, in the venture space in 2021, for example, and you compare them to 2022 and 2023, and it was a steep dive in terms of the volumes. People struggled to raise money during that period. There was less money to be deployed. Interest rates obviously went up, and that didn't help.
Yeah.
So the alternative, people are a bit more risk averse. And then geopolitical developments, the genocide, the war on Gaza, sort of stopped some of the funds really that were not aware of how the region functions or works, made that a little bit more difficult. But it, I believe if you have a good story, if you have good founders, if you're executing well, you will find the right money, you will find the right support, you will find the right strategic partners, and you will move forward. And you just look around you. There's so much, you know, ideas, there's so much success, there's so much people, you know, building product these days, and it just keeps improving year after year. The industry is cyclical. We have to be okay with that.
Yeah, absolutely. What is your main challenge right now at Keeper?
Great question. So it was to some degree fundraising at some point in time, because fundraising takes up time from execution, right? Takes up time from building a team, takes up time from generating revenue, takes up time from marketing, sales, business development, and so on. So balancing the two is always important. And number two is engagement with the ecosystem. Real estate is a very, very noisy industry.
Indeed.
Many brokers. I remember from an episode you did a couple of days ago, you know, you echoed what a lot of people's opinions are about agents in the market, right?
Yeah.
Now I want to caveat it over there is that yes, there is a big issue with the quality and the transparency.
It was about brokers putting up listings that are not available, and also putting up images.
An endemic problem in the market.
Yeah.
Mm. But it's not a blanket statement on the industry, and it's important to make that. Bad actors make everybody look bad,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, sure.
And the important thing is to clean out the bad actors in the market, is to set up standards that people now start to accept, call out the bad actors, but also highlight and elevate the good actors in the industry, the people that are trying to improve how things are.
It was a great RERA to implement those fines and give the brokers a couple of days to remove all those fake
listings. Because consumers were suffering.
Exactly.
Consumers were legitimately suffering.
I think Richard, our CEO, was the only person in in Dubai to defend the brokers. He said he respects the hustle.
I think he was nuanced. He didn't defend them outright. But yes, I mean, it's important. There is a hustle involved in this industry.
Yeah.
It's natural. You need to hustle. You need to hustle in the startup space. You need to hustle in the technology space. So it's not a bad thing to have hustle. It's a bad thing to harass.
Absolutely,
it's a bad thing to lie.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Definitely.
It's a bad thing to. So we got to differentiate between the two, and I think not sort of make a blanket statement about the industry. The industry in itself is actually probably the single most important industry in the domestic economy of Dubai.
I mean, definitely.
You look at its contribution to GDP, you look at its how many people it employs, and I'm not just talking about the agency business, I'm talking about the property business.
Sure.
So that includes the developers, the service providers, the agents, the transactions, the financial service providers, the mortgage providers. It's a big industry, and in Dubai in particular, especially measured by the last couple of years, it's also where most people's wealth is stored.
Definitely, yes.
And
that
is an
important
factor.
And I do regret not buying property earlier.
It's never too late to consider it. But it's yes, prices are up, but it's always the assessment of price versus value.
Mm-hmm.
So price might have gone up, value could still be higher. Right? And it's that assessment that you need to make. What does it represent to you? Is it a good savings? Is it a good income? Is it a good retirement planning? Right? Shouldn't be worried about retirement just yet, but it's always a good idea to build up an asset base, and real estate is one of those asset bases that inherently have an income, right? And may gain in value.
Definitely.
Right? It's not for sure going to gain in value. You got to time it right. You got to buy the right property. You got to negotiate right, and you got to do your math. But you have capital gains and you have an income component to it. So it's. I don't think it's ever too late. Globally, it's an asset class, so you don't have to be looking specifically at one place, but I believe that Dubai continues to offer value.
I mean, we can sit here and talk about real estate
all day
for hours, right? And we're going to have a special episode just for that. But right now, we spoke about hustle. And speaking of that, navigating your startup in times of limited liquidity, that's one of the major challenges that startups are facing right now. We've got, companies like Hala Insurance, where Waleed
Deeb,
one of the co-founders shut it down because he didn't want to burn investor money, and he said there's no product market fit, right? That transparency is very important. Then you've got companies like Bayzat, People are arguing that actually they are burning investor money. They've let people go. They haven't paid some of their staff. What is your advice on navigating this
challenge? It's not easy building a business, right? It's a difficult thing to do, and the buck stops with you as the founder, right? So you have to worry about all stakeholders. And I can't tell you that one stakeholder matters more than others. The investors in the industry, in the space, in venture space, are high-risk investors. They have to be okay losing all their money, all of it. Not, you know, making a smaller return. They have to have the expectation that part of the portfolio that they invested in is going to lose entirely.
But if you're giving millions of dollars to 20-something-year-olds, 30-year-olds, should the founders be more responsible? Are they raising too much money? You know, are they having offices in fancy areas?
Maybe yes, maybe no. Again, it's on a case-by-case basis, and everything has a justification. If you want to attract top talent, are you going to attract them to your garage?
Right.
Yeah, that's one of the questions you have to ask. If you want to scale very quickly and your investors want you to scale very quickly, then you're going to have to burn quicker, right? Then you're going to have to spend more money marketing. Then you're going to have to do that. The rules keep changing, right? The rules in 2021 were burn, baby, burn, which means effectively grow at all costs. And the founders that were not adopting that mindset were actually being shamed for it and being called out for, you're not growing fast enough.
Right.
You know, fast forward to today or you know, 2023, for example, and it's all about positive unit economics. It's all about, you know, hitting profitability sooner. And growth at all costs is a bad word, right?
Yeah.
However, if you're in the AI space, 2021 terms still apply.
Right.
Because that's a hot sector. That's a sector that, you know, you can't miss out on.
Yeah.
So rules keep changing. I will tend not to overweigh the blame on founders because the burden on founders is unbelievable. If first-time founders knew what they were going to go through, they'd never do it.
Yeah.
They'd almost never do it, right? Because you're carrying the burden off your employees, you're carrying the burden off your investors, you're carrying the burden off your suppliers, your vendors. Everybody's depending on you to do the right thing, okay? And sometimes to different stakeholders, it's a different thing, right? It might be the opposite thing.
Someone once said to me, actually was the founder of The One, the furniture shop, Thomas Lundgren. What a character.
Yes, indeed.
But he said to me, you know, I asked him, why after so many rejections, why did you keep going? And he said, you know, I wish I can tell you it was motivation. It was just me being naive, thinking that I can make it. So you have to be naive to keep going, I think, part of it, right?
You have to be, I think, also unreasonably optimistic.
Unreasonably optimistic.
Optimistic, yes.
That's a great great name for a startup. Or a VC, perhaps, unreasonably optimistic.
You have to have thick skin, you have to forget the rejection, and you have to move on, and you have to continue going, because the minute you stop, you die.
Yeah.
That's the treadmill you're on.
Right. Oof, I mean, I'm getting stressed just thinking about it, you know. One of the panels as well, because we are running a bit short on time and I want to get to this, tech resilience in Palestine. Fadi Randoud is heading it, and then we've got Diala from Vatrin, which is a Palestinian startup as well. I mean, what is the lifeline now for Palestinian startups, considering there's a genocide happening over there?
I think it's very aptly titled. I'm really looking forward to this panel, and it's called Resilience, right?
Yes,
Phenomenal resilience of this space. Not only are we talking about a global period of softness in the venture industry, but we're talking about a very specific case that is just unbelievably difficult for these startups. I mean, obviously their domestic market is almost non-existent.
Yeah.
Their access to resources is severely restricted. Their access to financing is being attacked. not only is it sort of short, it's being actually physically attacked.
Exactly.
And yet they push on. And they're not on the panel, but there's this company I was recently made aware that it was actually Palestinian, Palestinian founder, Palestinian based, Palestinian engineers and technology that signed on some of the top property managers and property operators in the US.
Wow.
As customers, as paying customers.
Wow.
With multi-million dollar run rate revenue. And it was just fascinating for me.
What is it called?
Mashvisor.
Mashvisor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting name. And it's a company that, you know, I was immediately struck by how resilient it is and how ambitious it was to go after, you know, clients all the way over in the US, win them over, generate revenue consistently from them. And it's a platform for property data, right? And it's
yeah.
a very nice platform for property data.
I think we need a bit more awareness towards Palestinian startups, because you know you were not aware that it was Palestinian, for example.
At the time I was made them, I was informed of it, and it's true. And I think we need to make a little bit of an effort. There are sort of initiatives out there that are now highlighting all these startups that you can find, and they also give you alternatives to, you know, technology companies that have been on the wrong side of history.
Exactly.
In terms of their statements the alternatives for them.
We have personally changed a couple of the softwares that we're using right now.
Absolutely.
Because of that at Augustus Media. Let's give a little love to some of the Palestinian startups. Vetrine, for example, it enables SMEs to open online storefronts using WhatsApp. How cool is that?
Very cool.
There was an article on Wired, and I just want to mention this quote by one of the co-founders, because it's a really powerful quote. He said, "Maybe I'm being very ambitious, but we want to create a success story in the Palestinian market to showcase what Palestinians really can do. There is good talent here."
That is absolutely, and all power to them. I mean, the concept in itself has legs. I think they call it social commerce.
Yeah.
And by all means, and not only is the startup in itself, you know, commendable, it's the fact that it enables people from their homes to start a business.
Yeah, exactly. Right? So it enables startups to easily set up an online store using their WhatsApp number, allows them to manage inventory, track sales, receive order notifications on WhatsApp, and process local online payments. How cool is that?
Very cool.
I mean,
very cool. And the truth is, their market is regional. It mm-hmm. could be global. So that's what, you know, you expect them to be able to do. Employ the talent that you have in Palestine today, and that's you know, struggling on a day-to-day basis, but offer the product regionally. People, I think, if they know the story, a lot of people will come in and will give them a chance and will onboard them and will operate with them. So, you know, turn it around, turn it to your advantage is what I would say.
And I mean, the first thing you should look for in talent is resilience, right?
Yes. And who's got more resilience than
the Palestinians?
Than
exactly. So yeah, I would I would urge anyone listening out there to really try and support and hire Palestinian talent. And talent is an issue here.
Of course.
Isn't it? Have you, with Keeper, found challenges hiring and retaining good talent, especially with the competition with Saudi now?
So if COVID did anything, it made it possible and really well practiced is to have a team anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, a team anywhere means anywhere in the region. So we have a large group of engineers and our tech team effectively based out of Amman, Jordan, for
nice.
Example, where we found brilliant talent. In Egypt, we have a couple of people working with us. So it's by all means, if you're not doing that, if all your talent is concentrated in a single location, you probably didn't do the right thing.
That's incredible, because, you know, I think everyone is over the, you know, better to hire a Western than an Arab. So that's really great to hear that, you know, there are people based in Amman.
Better to hire the better talent. Better to hire the talent that's more excited to be a part of your
Absolutely.
Story.
Absolutely. And also if it's a regional company, you know, I mean, who better than people in the region, from the region? to support and be a part of it.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's so much more to talk to you about, Waleed, but you're going to be with us once a week. Thank you for your time.
I'm looking forward to that. Thank you. This was a great start, of course, and a great venue. Unfortunately, we're not going to have it every week, but
unfortunately, not. You know, I feel like if we did, it would work as well. But
I think so.
Check it out, guys. It's today and tomorrow, a STEP conference, Dubai Internet City. It's really incredible. I mean, you will not leave without getting some sort of insight or just having a good time meeting great people. We're gonna love you and leave you. Listen to us on all podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, and Ghami Spotify. Check us out. We're on Smashy TV, our streaming platform. Thank you, and see you tomorrow.